I think just a review real quick, just going to go down the line. Know your safety protocol. You know, go search those steps because they're very important about not pointing the weapon at anyone, knowing your backdrop. There's very international standards. Read those. Two, know which weapon that your academy is either using or your department is using, and do a little research like Corey said on the background. Know if there's any extra features, lights or red dots, things like that. Again, watch some videos and know that. Know your tactical stuff. Make sure you have right eyes, ears. You know, if you can wear suntan lotion, if you can wear hats, you know all that stuff as well. And like Corey said, just, you know, pay attention to your instructors. Don't jump ahead thinking you know what to do. Just follow the commands. Just go down there, follow the commands. If you have questions at the end of the day, ask questions and just work on it.
This is Corey Jones with the Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. Join us every week for a new podcast. Follow us everywhere podcasts are played and on YouTube, Be Ready with Safety Man. This is Corey Jones.
All right, Corey, we're here. We're back. Let's do it.
It's time.
How's your winter been? It's been freezing. I just got back from Vegas and it's too cold for me. I want to go right back.
I was going to say, how did they get you off the airplane, man?
I got off. I was like, nope. I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to sign up for Vegas Metro and shift gears because it is freezing here.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous. And I think that'll play into our topic a little bit this evening, too, that we're going to talk about because the weather can definitely be a factor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends what's going to happen when you're out there at the range. That's what we're talking about. But before we jump into it, welcome to the show, right?
Yeah.
The Safety Man Show. I'm Ida Hoagie, the co-host, and the main man here is Corey.
Safety Man, be ready, train now. Everything we're going to talk about today and all of our other podcasts and YouTubes is designed to give you information to help get you ready to go, to get you ready to do whatever it is you're about to do and to make sure that you're going to do that at 100%, that you're going to be able to win any encounter.
So if you're just, is this the first time you're ever listening to the podcast, Corey and I are both certified range instructors. And so today's podcast, we are talking about going to the academy for the first time. And for a lot of people, they've never shot a weapon. They have very little expertise or understanding about what to expect, except what they see in movies or TV. So today we're going to kind of talk about that, what to expect, what you will probably go through. We'll talk about some of our experiences and what's happening. Now, every academy is different, but there is going to be minimal standards at every one, so we'll kind of talk about it. So I'm going to ask you this. When you went to the academy, had you had prior shooting abilities or experiences going in?
Zero. I mean, like everybody, my uncle let me shoot a gun like once when I was 15 or something like that, but no, zero training or anything like that. And I might be getting ahead of your question, but I actually think now from my experience being a firearm instructor, sometimes that's better because you don't have any of those bad habits or misconceptions to break.
Yeah. I was the same way. My grandfather was a retired lieutenant. He had taken me out a couple times just to like let me know what it felt like to shoot a handgun, but no actual training experience, you know, just very, he taught me like very basic, you know, stuff of how to hold the weapon and things like that, but nothing tactical, nothing reloading, you know, very, you know, and I think the first thing I shot was like a six shooter or something. Like it was just like an old school gun too. It wasn't anything relevant going in there. So all right, so we're gonna get into it. What tips, tricks, what would you recommend for new people coming in?
So it's depends on your personality type. If you're somebody who's not going to be nervous and you're not going to really worry about it, you're not getting super stressed, maybe you're prior military, maybe you got some life experience and it's like they're just going to yell at me, make me run around, that's not going to stress me out. You don't have to really worry about it, right? If you can play a sport, you could probably shoot a gun, right? If you can, I'm not saying be in the NBA or be a hockey goalie. I'm saying if you played an organized sport, you'll probably be okay, right? You'll probably be okay shooting a gun. So you can go one of two paths. Get some prior instruction. minimal instruction, so you kind of aren't nervous, so you kind of have the safety idea out of it, indexing that finger, just so you're not getting yourself yelled at. But don't try to go into the police academy as an expert shooter or something like that, because we are going to want to train you the way we believe is the best.
Yeah, and so I would say, I think what's nerve-wracking for a lot of people is that range week is one of the weeks that you could fail out at the end of the week, depending on your academy. Like other things, like with scholastics, I mean, you know, it's one thing, but you know, they give you a couple chances on the test and things like that. But I think range is high stress for a lot of people because of that, you know, kind of lurking feeling like if I don't pass, I'm out of here. And I think that's worrisome to some people. So if you're on the opposite side now, like if you're on the opposite side, if you're worried, what are some ideas or what would you recommend to those people?
Well, then you come find Safety Man. And I'm not just saying it because I want your money. I do, but that's not why I'm saying it. Well, when I was a firearm instructor at the police academy for probably 3 or 4 sessions, I was actually the lead firearm instructor. So I was running it. So I probably at one point or another 200 students have come through that police academy, and I was either an instructor or the lead instructor. And the failure rate was not very high. I would say maybe 5 or 6 people we actually failed, and we gave them a lot of opportunities. We gave them a lot of chances. But yeah, you're right. At the end of the day on Friday, that Friday, if at 4 o'clock, we gave you the 3 extra times to try to get a qualifying score and you could not, then we'd send you back to your department, and then your chief law enforcement officer would deal with you then. So if you're that, if you think you're going to be that, then go find somebody, not just somebody's going to stress you out, but somebody that's going to be kind of cool and diagnose what's going on. Because like you said, you got a gun in your hand, you got a tiny explosion going off about 30 inches away from your face. That should be nerve-wracking if you've never done it before.
Yeah. I would say with my academy, the range week was not as stressful as some of the other weeks. I mean, it wasn't a luxury vacation week, but they were more focused on just teaching us what needed to be done rather than screaming at us the whole time, because it's already a high tense situation. So they wanted us to learn the correct way. So it was more of like an educational week. And I think that's the way it should be. Deal with the high stress after you got the fundamentals built in. That's my philosophy. Build the fundamentals, then scream, then make explosions, then make it, you know, you're running and doing jumping jacks. So then you're building upon those basics that you're learning. You know, that's my opinion that of academy, the way it should be run, is get the people through and then you can add all the stress factors you want, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of what we did, Hoagie. That's kind of what we did. So when I said find a safety man, I was the nice guy. I wasn't the screaming and yelling kind of person. That's just not my personality. You know, I'm not former military, so I didn't have that experience, you know, being a drill instructor. I did go to 2 police academies, but and got yelled at in both of them. But that's just not my personality, is to scream and stress you out. I want you to have that training. But I just have other resources there that I can do that. Former military instructors and things like that. They were like, all right, that's your cup of tea. Knock it out. Like you said, once we make sure that officer, that candidate, that trainee is safe, then we can increase their competence by increasing their confidence by showing them they can operate this device under stress.
Yeah. I would say too, for people going in, some good things that you, again, you might not have, let's say you don't have the money, right? Let's say you don't have the money to get personal training, right? Well, what I would recommend is, one, figure out what your weapon is your department is using. Okay. You might not be able to get your hands on it. You might not be able to go out for training, but you could probably watch some YouTube videos or do some research about how the weapon works, you know, like where the magazine release is. Does your gun have a safety or not? Because obviously we know that with like Glocks, they're internal safeties. And so if you're out there, you know, I don't know, is there a safety on this gun? I don't know, you know. So I think you can do a little bit of research to calm your mind going in, just by watching some videos and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about like the high tactical reload, shoot, train, you know, stuff, but just the basics of like, there's tons of guys on YouTube, like that will show you how to take apart the guns, how they work, you know, the firearms that they are showing. And you can definitely find the exact model that you're using. So I think just having a little bit of knowledge in the back of your head goes a long way when you're walking in, because you know a little more about what you're walking into.
Exactly. And look at the viewership on the videos that you're looking at YouTube. if it's one of my videos, and you only got like 1,000 people who watched it, and you got this guy's got 18 million, I'll tell you to go watch that guy, right? You know, there's a reason he's got 18 million people, or she has 18 million people following and watching and clicking on their videos. You'll pick it up in like the first minute if this person knows what they're talking about or not. You know, and you can always check with me or Hoagie, and we'll say, yeah, that person knows what they're talking about. You could definitely watch those videos. I direct my clients all the time to 4 or 5 people that have YouTube channels that are really good with firearms.
Yeah, and so one thing, you know, from a personal experience too, is I went through with a bigger academy class. And, you know, the academy instructors were great that I had that week, but we did have large numbers going out there. And so one of the things that I learned, and like I didn't figure out till like day 3 when an instructor was actually like working with me one-on-one, I was doing okay the first 2 days. But what really changed me was with on the Glock, which I didn't realize, is that like when you did your trigger squeeze, right, I was just like letting go of the trigger the entire time. And I didn't realize that you could basically get that half trigger pull coming back with a half click. And I'm like, once I learned that, it was like I was,
yeah,
I don't want to say masterful, but it took me to the next level very quickly. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
you know, my finger doesn't have to come off the trigger the entire time. I don't have to slap the trigger every single time. It's not moving right. My ammo shots, you know, where they're going off the target. So, you know, hopefully your academy is not just running you through the numbers. Hopefully you have instructors, maybe one for every 2 or 3 students. Hopefully, but things are different nowadays, so I don't know. But I've heard that with some people in the military where they said sometimes they just run you through the numbers, like they're just trying to get you through, and it's like the basic stuff at least. And you know, that kind of sucks because there was a lot of military guys in my academy, and I'll be honest, some were really good and some were really bad. And you know, and yeah, when I talking to them later, they said, yeah, like it was just like get us through, get us going, you know, move on to the next thing, kind of situation. So I felt kind of blessed and lucky that I did have one, a couple instructors that I actually personally knew. They had worked with my grandfather, so I guess he probably got in their ear like, go get on Hoagie's ass a little bit and, you know, work him a little bit.
Thanks yeah, for that, thanks, right?
Grandpa. But that, you know, that was something that, you know, we didn't really have YouTube to that point where I could learn about that stuff going in. So I think people are, that's something I would have known going in, like, oh, you could do this with the trigger squeeze. I didn't know that, you know?
No, I didn't either. I didn't have any of that. I mean, Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet when I went to the, so I was really on my own. And like you, I had like an epiphany type experience. One of the instructors, retired Cinnamon, I believe. I can't remember. His name will come to me a little bit, but he pulled me aside and it was kind of like you're talking about with the reset, with the trigger. He said, just said, relax on that trigger squeeze. Cause I literally look like a drunk shooting a shotgun. Like my bullets, there was no rhyme or reason to where I was hitting. It wasn't like, all right, he's doing this. It was just, everything was amiss. He got me so good that I took the Academy Award. And we had a week, and that was like you, day 3. And I said, oh, now this all makes sense.
Yeah.
And now
it's, you know, again, if you have the ability to get personal training, again, we're not telling you that you have to do it, but like it does, it makes a huge difference, like learning techniques, tactics, you know, it improves you so much. The other thing I would say is nowadays, a lot of people are using red dots. That's the new hot thing right now. So I would say find out, again, what your department's using. You know, ask whoever if you have a supervisor or if you have an early FTO or you have someone assigned to you, you know, ask them, hey, you know, what kind of red dot do we use? What kind of, you know, ask them these questions. Because that's another thing you could research, like, hey, how to turn it on, off, how to brighten it, you know. Because we shot outside, and as you know, for first timers, if people that don't know, there's different settings on your red dot. So if you don't know how to increase brightness, which might seem common sense, but I'm telling you, sometimes it's not, that makes a huge difference too. So learning what kind of red dot you're using, watch another YouTube video on that, you know, some information on how to apply those things, the sunlight, the low light, you know, they all make huge differences.
Yeah. And there's so many. So when I went to the academy, the choices of gun we're not as wide ranging as they are now. So you could literally, I could be an instructor and I could have students show up with guns that I've never seen before. I have clients that show up with guns that I've never fired before. So, all right, well, we're going to play with this for a minute because I got to make sure that we know what's going on. And I want to videotape myself shooting this cool gun. Right. So exactly to your point.
Do it for the content, right? First and then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's all about the content and the clickbait. So once I get that out of the way, then I'm like, all right, I can add this to my list of firearms that I can either recommend or not recommend, or say, yeah, I shot that. It's okay. What's your goal with it? But now you might have instructors there who don't have as much exposure because there's so many firearms there. Because you might not have anybody from your agency to be an instructor at the academy. So you may go in there, it'll be another instructor from another agency, and you're showing up with this new Walther that he or she's never heard of. Now you're both on a learning curve. So as Anthony was saying, you get that little bit of pre-information that says that the red dot does this, and there's an internal safety, and there's a magazine disconnect, and all the different things, and this doesn't shoot 155 grains, it only shoots 147, whatever it is. If you know all that information, you definitely want to gently and professionally bring that up to your instructor.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we went to an academy where it was a bunch of different towns that went to one academy. You know, some people watching this, you might be in a big city where just everybody from the city, you're all going to have the same weapon. You're going to be working with people that work in your department. And if that's the case, you know, I would say you're a little, you know, ahead of the curve, because the guys are going to be, I don't want to say use the word professional, but they're using the same things over and over again. They're just training nonstop. They know the ins and outs of every weapon that they're using, you know, because they're doing. But like Corey said, you know, there's other academies like that we went to where it was small towns that all went to one academy. So you had instructors from all over the place that didn't know maybe certain things, you know. So again, you know, trying to do some of that research of what you're going into plays a part, you know, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I had, like I said, I had zero exposure to firearms, and both academies, They were cool. The instructors weren't the screaming and hollering kind of people. They wanted you to be safe. I guess I have that personality where I'll just do what you tell me. You know, I probably have big eyes like a puppy dog, kind of like, okay, just, you know, I got you. I remember there was a bee landed on my nose on the firing range. We weren't allowed to, because down in Wildwood, we weren't allowed to, sand fleas were down there. So we weren't allowed to get that. It was just, we weren't allowed. So a bee was on my nose. I'm like, I want to get it, but I don't. And I see the instructor looking at me. He's like, I would get that bee if I were you. I'm like, oh, thanks. So I holstered my gun and then got the bee off. Because that's what they didn't want us doing.
Yeah.
Was, you know, moving all around. So safety.
Yeah.
So learn those international firearm safety rules, and you're going to be ahead of the game if you just master
them. Yeah, if you follow the rules, the safety rules, the international safety rules, very simple things, you know, like don't point your weapon at something that you're not ready to shoot. Like very big things. You can go look them up. You can look at all the things, but they're going to be the main thing that they're going to be drilling in your head. Because again, their asses are on the line too. You're a bunch of noobs running around. Their liability is through the roof. So they know they're taking a chance of just being out there, and they want to go home, you know, at the end of the day without a lawsuit on their hands. So they're going to be,
or any extra holes in them,
yeah,
right? Or
any extra holes. If they are yelling at you, it's because you're probably doing something bonehead. You know, it's not like you answered a question wrong. It's because you're doing something wrong with the actual weapon.
Right.
Learning those very basic rules of, you know, what you should be doing on the range. Little side tip, if you can get away with it, if you're going to be in outdoor range or indoor range, do a little research on that too. Because if you're outdoor, especially in the summer or winter, you know, you might want to put a little suntan lotion on if you're in the summer, because day three, you're going to be boiling red. If not, you know, again, in the winter, if you're going to be out there, you might need some extra long johns or extra socks. So being prepared that way, because the last thing you want to do is being freezing and your hands are shaking and you can't get a good trigger, you know, squeeze there and whatnot. So find out, hey, can I bring gloves? You know, are we allowed to use them? Or can I at least have them when I'm not shooting, you know, on the sidelines? You know, can I bring suntan lotion? You know, these are simple questions that might sound a little annoying, but again, it's your ass in the line trying to get through that week. So find out what you can and cannot get away with.
Yeah, be prepared.
Yeah.
On the same side of this thing is, and I know you've probably said this before, and I know you've heard it before 1,000 times. As soon as I say it, you're going to be like, oh, don't anticipate a command. You may think they're going to tell you to do something with your magazine or with your with this or with that, or don't anticipate the command. That's the first off, that's the one of the most unsafe things you can do is anticipate a command. But second, you're going to make your instructor lose his or her mind.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to go have your hand on your gun in the holster, start taking the magazine out, and they didn't give you that command yet. And again, it's for safety, because I can, you know, you and I have enough experience. We can look at a line of 20 people and say, all right, everybody's holstered. All right, cool. Now I'm going to go on to my next thing. But then I see somebody messing around. I see a hand moving when it wasn't supposed to be moving. That's what our job is as instructors with that experience. That's what we're bringing to the table, is that movement right over there, that movement right over there is not something that I told. So I could say, cease fire, stop, whatever I need to do. And if you hear cease fire, you hear stop, literally just stop. Don't turn around. Don't do anything. Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Other things that I have written down is if, you know, sometimes they supply them, but I would say invest in the better headphones, earphones, earbuds, whatever the hell they have you using out there, because, you know, the ones I got were like super crappy, man. Like, they just gave me some general departmental, like, these were like things you would use at like a hard hat construction zone. They were like,
yeah.
Like, the new ones have like the sound filters that like filter out the sounds and like the voice command, so you can actually hear the instructor over the shots. And I'm telling you what, like, they save your ears, you know, to so much compared to other, you know, the crappy ones, you know.
Oh yeah. And then you can hear the commands better too, as you're alluding to. You'll be able to hear exactly what the instructor is saying. The instructor may be giving somebody else some feedback. You might be doing the same thing, but now because I can hear the instructor talking to somebody three or four shooters down the line, hey, when you draw your firearm, make sure you keep your offhand out of the way, or do this, or do whatever you're doing, or blade your body the right way. He might not hear, she may not be talking to you, but now you can hear that because you have that situational awareness. Like, oh, am I doing that? Okay, cool. And then I'll reblade myself or start my hands up in whatever position that they're supposed to be in. Because now I got that 360 degrees situational awareness. Well, I don't have that happen to move.
Yeah.
Because those headsets that you talk about, those electronic ones, they actually do provide direction.
Yeah.
Because I had them on backwards once and I didn't know that they were directional. And I'm looking forward and a sound sounded like it came from in front of me. But it was behind me. I'm looking like, hey, there's nothing in front of me that could have made that noise.
Yeah.
It was a door opening behind me in the classroom is what it was. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend, if you do have the extra money, and they're not super expensive.
$50. Howard Lights on Amazon are $50.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend Lights. If your department doesn't supply you with those, spend the $50. Those are well worth it. And they're going to save your ears too. Some guys, you know, they just stick the things in their ears, the little foam things. I am like way against that because a couple reasons. One, those things are dirty as hell. You know, you got grime and grease all over your fingers and you're putting them and then jamming in your ears, man. And I've had ear infections and like, not from that specifically, but ear infections are the absolute worst thing, you know, ever. But besides that too, is like, you know, it's proven that sound actually, just because it doesn't go directly through your ear, you know, canal where the drums are, it actually goes through like the sides of behind your ears, and basically it can travel through the outsides of your ears too. So like covering that all up actually protects you a lot more. And, you know, hearing is very important, obviously.
Yeah, it is.
So
you don't know how important it is until you start to lose it.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm starting to slowly get there a little bit here and there. So I'm trying to be more and more cautious with the way I want them out at the range and make sure my ears are always on, because it is. You know, you start getting that point in life where things are a little harder here and you have to turn up the sound just a little bit louder, you know. And you don't want to be 24 years old and have that problem, you know.
No, because then your agency is going to say, hey, we supplied the officer, the candidate, the recruit, the trainee with all the proper safety equipment. It was his or her choice to not wear it properly. So, you know, make sure you wear it. But go ahead and spend the extra money. Get some good eye protection, some good hearing protection. Have a backup pair. You know, it's not cool Oakley sunglasses day. You want to make sure that they're rated for firearms. They're not going to be bulletproof, but you want them rated by ANSI, approved for you set the range, or for construction safety glasses, or something like that. Not your Oakleys.
Yeah.
I know there's those cool shooters, those same videos that I'm going to direct you to. I guarantee you some of those shooters are going to have some super cool Oakleys or something like that. Wear the appropriate shooting glasses, because that's all. You don't want a hot shell casing.
Yes.
Or if they're shooting steel, a jacket come back and you can lose an eye.
Yeah. And so to touch on that, because I was going to bring up these, make sure one that they are, you know, approved for the range, that they can take a little bit of stress, because things are going to hit them. I was going to throw another personal experience out there. And I actually learned this through paintballing, and then kind of did my own research before the academy. So I have like really kind of greenish hazel eyes that change depending on the sunlight. They'll be dark, they'll be brown, or they'll be light green. Like they kind of go off and on. People always ask me, they see me wearing these glasses. So the ones I'm wearing right now are the computer blue light glasses. I don't know if they work or they don't, but I figured, you know, if they're going to help my eyes a little bit from the computer screens that I'm always looking at, then I'll take the investment. These are prescription glasses that I use. Mm-hmm. But the yellow tint, people always ask me about that. Like, Hoagie, what's up with the yellow tint? And what I learned accidentally through playing paintball, went and got a new mask. My mask got all messed up. I needed a new shield. I went to the store. I was about 14, 15 years old, saved up some money, and had to get a new clear lens put, or a new lens put in. And the guy was like, oh, we're all out of the clear ones. He's like, we only have the yellow tint ones, right? So I was like, all right, well, that's cool looking. Let me try them. And it was like another epiphany moment in my life. I could then visually see things outside so clear that I had never been able to see before in my life. Everything looked, you know, some people use polarized glasses or different things. It enhanced my eyesight. And what I found out, some people have said in some researches that, you know, depending on your eye color, it could affect by the tint of the glasses that you wear. And so since that day, I do wear I wear yellow shooting glasses when I'm out at the range, because again, we shoot outside 95% of the time when we train, and it actually helps me for being out there. I can see so much clearer. Just everything looks a little more enhanced. It's kind of hard for me to explain that if you've never experienced that, but some people have to wear the orange ones or the polarized or the yellow, but that's the reason behind. So that, again, maybe try on a couple pair of safety glasses. Try on different colors. If you have light color, blue, hazel eyes, these things will affect your eyesight, your contacts. You know, make sure that stuff is all squared away before you go out there.
Right. And you can also use that same transition. So once you decide what kind of lens you're going to want to use, you could then go and actually have some special pair of glasses made so you can accomplish the cool factor. I'm not saying that we don't want to look cool. I'm not saying that. But we got to be safe and effective first.
Yes.
Right. And then we can do the cool factor. So if I can go to the store and get my prescription Oakleys with my yellow tinted lens that I can wear all day while I'm at work. Right. And maybe that they're photochromatic. So when I go outside in the bright sunlight, they get a little bit darker. And then when I go in the dark, they get a little bit lighter. So I can keep them on because I still want to protect my eyes, even if I'm not at the range. When I went to bike patrol school, that was one of the things they stressed, because if you're riding your bike real fast, you get bushwhacked. You know, you get through trees and stuff hitting you in the face, bugs hitting you in the face when you, I don't know if you ever rode a motorcycle, but bugs hitting you in the face at 70 miles an hour is not fun.
No,
it's not fun. So you want to protect your eyes all the time.
I will throw out another tip. And again, this is going to be dependent on your academy, their uniform, but if you're going to be out there with a lot of guys and girls, and you're going to be a lot of people in a row shooting, if they let you wear a hat, wear the hat.
Yes.
Wear the hat. People go, why? Because it's sunny. I go, no, because you're going to be having shells hitting you left and right. And when you get a hot shell behind your ear or stuck in your head or go down your back, if you got a hat to stop that, I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference.
All day it does. It does. Definitely wear a hat. They'll probably make you wear a hat. They probably will nowadays, just like as you said, for the safety factor of it. And again, just for uniformity, you know, just we got to make them do something. So let's make them wear hats. But yeah, to keep a hot shell case, because I've had that happen to clients. It goes down the front, goes down the back, or whatever. And they're not used to it. Now, my main thing is I got to worry about where is this gun going?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because you're going to naturally, instinctively reach to go get this hot thing off of you, and now you just potentially flagged people with that gun.
That's
something to think about.
that's a learning lesson that like can't be like shown on YouTube or taught. Like it's just one of those moments, like you're going to get that, you got to get that hot shell and feel it for the first time and know that you can handle it, because I don't know how else to describe it unless you got someone at your house trying to burn you. I don't know what else to explain it.
Yeah. Maybe if you were a smoker and you dropped a cigarette, you actually touched a cigarette or something. Yeah. that'd be one. But the thing is, now we're talking about this. So now hopefully it's in your head. So if you are at the range, that's the last thing you want to do is react, like freak out and react if something hot hits you or something like that happens. You just want to chill, just toes up, just not move, just relax. It's like the time I said I had a bee on my nose. It wasn't because I was cool, or I was just so I just didn't want to get yelled at.
Yeah.
I never would have let that happen, but I just didn't want to get yelled at. So that's kind of what I'm trying to prime everybody in. What I'm saying this is, just relax, just chill.
Yeah,
they're going to get you through it. We'll get you through it.
Other thing too, I would say obviously this is probably going to be mandatory in 99% of all academies now, but as much as it might be uncomfortable, you got to wear your vest. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's probably standard across the board now, but who knows? There could be some place in the middle of East, wherever, that it's optional still. I would say you got to wear the vest, especially here's the other thing too. Not just for yourself, right? You're out there with like all brand new people. You know, they're not all tactical experts that have been doing this for 30 years. But even then, I still wear my vest. You know, I've been out there with guys for 20 plus years. I'm still wearing my vest. Wear your vest. It might be hot. It might be uncomfortable. It might be long days. You might have a little break. So you think, oh, I'll take it off. But they're still shooting over there. Wear it. Just keep it on. You know, deal with it.
Yeah. You're going to wear it all day at work anyway. I mean, you're signing up to be a cop. You're going to wear your vest for 12-hour shifts. You know, popping in and out of a car, you're going in a hot place, cold place, whatever. Just get used. It's better to get it out of the way in the academy where you're not thinking about it. Because I think when I was in academy, we had to wear our vests all the time.
Yeah.
As recruits, if we were issued vests, we had to wear them all the time. They say, we're just going to get this out of the way. So your first day, you're not like, it's not all big, bulky, and distracting to you.
Yeah, we wore them 24/7. Like I said, I know New Jersey that is, but I'm sure there's places out there that, you know, I've seen things about places that can't afford them, or they're using old equipment, and it's like, you know, it's optional. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, like where are you?
Yeah,
you know, it's proven. Yeah. You know, it saves lives. But yeah, so you know that as well. So I think that kind of covers the equipment, the ears, the eyes, your hats, your vest, you know that equipment. Cause that's a big part of it. You think you're just going to go out there, work on shooting, but that's a big part of that is the being prepared with all the other stuff, because it's going to help you with the edge of getting past the score there and qualifying, you know?
Yeah. And you might get the award.
Yeah.
I mean, chase that award.
Chase that award.
Chase that award.
So I think that's kind of all I had for it. Do you have anything else?
No, I think we stressed everything, man. Just do a little bit of homework so you're not going in completely blind, but relaxed. We're going to get you through it. You know, everybody who wanted, I think, everybody who really put in the effort, we got them through it. If they were willing to put in the work and willing to listen, like I said, if you can do a sport, you can probably shoot a gun. I'm not super athletic, but I mean, I played football. I played, karate and stuff like that, so I had some hand-eye coordination, and that was basically all I needed. Once the one instructor just watched me, said no, just nice and smooth on the trigger, and you're good to go. And I was good to go.
Yeah,
it was fine. I was 20 years old.
Yeah, and I think just a review real quick. Just gonna go down the line. Know your safety protocol. You know, go search those steps because they're very important about not pointing the weapon at anyone. Knowing your backdrop, there's very international standards. Read those. Two, know which weapon that your academy is either using or your department is using, and do a little research, like Corey said, on the background. Know if there's any extra features, lights or red dots, things like that. Again, watch some videos and know that. Know your tactical stuff. Make sure you have right eyes, ears. You know, if you can wear suntan lotion, if you can wear hats, you know all that stuff as well. And like Corey said, just, you know, pay attention to your instructors. Don't jump ahead thinking you know what to do. Just follow the commands. Just go down there, follow the commands. If you have questions at the end of the day, ask questions, and just work on it. But I think you know, like you said, over the years, you know, you might have tossed maybe a couple people. But I mean, there's probably a 90 to 95% pass rating. I would say that's probably pretty standard. And then again, if you can afford private help for even, I would say, you know, what's one of your basic courses, Corey? Like how long is that? Like 3 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours?
It depends on what the person's goal is. Anywhere from 90 minutes to like 2.5 hours. Yeah. I don't keep people much longer than that because they start to get a little.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that even makes a huge difference. Again, my fiance, she went through, I wanted her to go through with someone else. So I took like my emotional side of things out and went through with Corey, and then she did great, you know, and she kind of got a very basic understanding of how things worked in just like 2 hours. So, again, if you know, most academies are Monday to Friday kind of deal or Monday through Saturday, but if you got those extra 2 hours and you know it's coming up, find a private instructor. If you're in New Jersey, hit Corey up. I don't make any money off of this, so it's nothing with me. I'm just saying from experience. But I would definitely recommend trying to get out there ahead of time if you can afford to do it and you have the time and money. And again, it's not crazy expensive. I mean, you're going
to
spend.
No. And if you're doing, like I said, somebody's getting ready to go into police academy, I cut them a break because I never know. They might pull me over 2 years later. It's like, oh, he cut me a break. Safety man cut me a break. Yeah, step out of the car anyway. But
good try, buddy.
Yeah, good try. Step out. Body cameras, man. Step out of the car.
So, but yeah, and guys, girls, anyone watching, if you have any questions, again, this is not legal advice. We always throw that out there. But Corey's very good at getting back to you about anything. So drop comments below. Send Corey a message, and he'll help you out for sure.
Indeed.
So. All right. Well, enjoy this frigid weather out here, man. Hopefully next time we talk, it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah. We could do this outside. We can go outside.
Yeah, we can do it. We should do like an outside cigar and like pit and podcast, man. I think we could do it, man.
We could do that. That's definitely. But like you said, we'll have to wait till springtime.
Yeah, I ain't doing it in the cold. I hate going out in the cold as much as I do now. So
yeah.
Good thing I picked a profession where I got to go outside a lot. Cool. Yeah. All right.
Everybody's jealous because I'm retired. Yes.
All right. Well. All right, everyone. Thanks for stopping in. Where can they find you, Corey? Let them know.
At SafetyManCO on all social media. At SafetyManCO on all social media.
All right, buddy. I'll see you on the next one, man. Thanks.
You got it. Be safe. Train now.